All right, everyone. Episode 14 of Stick and Rink Podcast. We're back once again. It is Sunday, January 24th, and that means that the UFC's big fight night is now over. Conor McGregor shocked the world by not getting a first-round knockout like we were promoting, but that's all right. Things happen. But we wanted to give a big shout-out to DraftKings, one of our first and one of our biggest sponsors to take a chance on us. So please go to DraftKings, download the app. If you're in certain states, which we'll list later, you can use the sportsbook to do actual bets on games. But and everywhere else, you can do daily fantasy with them as well. So sign up if you haven't already using the promo code THPN. That'll help out us a ton as well. And just an example of things we've been doing on there. We were pumping up the UFC fight. There was a huge promotion on how to get pretty much 257-1 odds on a McGregor knockout. Now, it didn't hit, but most of the time things like that do hit. I've been getting back into the DraftKings game. I set up my account once again, deposited some money, and I started out with just some nice little dip your toes in bets. I was getting some daily fantasies on some football. I bet $1 and guess your boy made $10 on that one. So some would say I'm on a heater. Some would say I'm a fastball clocking in at 99. We'll get some bets later on that I've been doing as well. But just so everyone's aware, hockey is a thing on DraftKings. Don't just think America football, baseball. Don't just think that. It's got NHL. You're covered there. And one of my favorite things to do is be just crazy irrationally positive about the Canucks. And so what I did is I just went on a nice cheap lobby, a dollar buy-in with, I think, 9 other players again for the Ottawa Canucks matchup. And I'm going heavy. I got Pettersson. I got Vertanen. I got Miller. Pettersson's my captain. I'm all over Big Tuna. We got points coming. Points are coming this week. So don't fret on the Canucks. Please fret on DraftKings. Download promo code THPN. Top-rated sportsbook app now. Once again, promo code THPN. Must be 21 years of age or older. The states I was talking about is New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. I think Michigan might be on there now as well. Also Virginia, I think, passed a bill today. So there's some other states passing it as well. So if you're in those states, definitely look up the sportsbook and do some live betting on games there. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Like us, we're with it. Thanks, DraftKings.
Oh, harder, baby.
All right, everybody. Guess who's fucking back and who's stoked on today? Stick and Ring Podcast here with Josh Rath and your rich motherfucker, Elijah. How are we doing today, guys?
Good.
Raph, how you doing, Phil?
I'm not bad, Josh. How you doing?
In the words of Baker Mayfield, I woke up feeling dangerous.
There you go.
I woke up feeling dangerous, boys.
That's a sick line.
What did you do that made you feel so dangerous today?
Oh, we'll get to that, but let's go to Elijah. Elijah, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, wait, real quick, before we go to Elijah, can I bring something up before we get too far away from the ad read?
Yeah. 100%.
Elijah, so did you listen to the cuts that I made on the last ad read that you did?
Yeah, where you just like blast, like I sent you the whole file to hopefully cut out all my fuck ups.
And I just kept them all in there.
Yeah.
And you even edited
it this time to make it sound more fluid
with the fuck ups. Sure, we'll see how it goes. But why were you so confused the last time when you recorded by the word Indiana?
It wasn't that I was confused. It's because it's written in an abbreviation. And okay. The abbreviation is usually IND, and I look like on all sports. I don't know if it's officially IND, but I was looking at it and it said IN, and I was like, the fuck? And I had never, in all the podcasts that I listened to, I've never heard Indiana in that list of states.
Yeah.
And so I just saw it there. I was like, the fuck is Indiana doing?
Yeah. There's like this really audible portion where it's just like, you just like start reading and you kind of stop. You're like, the fuck? You're like, Indiana. you never seen the word before. I'm like, all right, okay, cool.
Indianapolis. I thought Indiana. What's that? No, I took a shot on that whole Virginia and Michigan thing. I'm pretty sure because there's other sports books in Michigan. I imagine DraftKings is one of the biggest ones out there. Hey, they definitely got to be out there for sure. I think. I'm down. I'm getting back into that fantasy stuff. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, let's.
You know what? The DraftKings thing is perfect for a lot of people that we know that listen to our podcast that aren't big gamblers too. Because it's not. There are options for $100 buy-in, $20 buy-in, but there's options for like a quarter buy-in where you play with like 1,000 people, and you have a chance to win like $100 or $20, but you only have to put in 25 cents. Like if huge gambling is not your style, they still have options for you, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. But hey, let's get back to your gambling.
But with this podcast, we are big gamblers.
Apparently. Yeah, we're heavy hitters.
Allegedly.
No quitters. We ain't spitting out here.
We're home run hitters.
Yes. Yes. Josh, why do you want to do this? Do you want to lead in and I'll come over? Or do you want me to come over?
No. I'm going to be the nice little appetizer to your main course.
Yes, sir.
So I woke up today. It is, I guess, the conference games that happened in the NFL. So Chiefs against the Bills. And then it was Packers against the Bucks. I had $100 from winning 1 week in fantasy. It hadn't even been given to me yet. Hadn't even cashed in. And I messaged my buddy who was holding on to it for me. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, let's do a 2-game parlay. I've never actually bet formally on a sports game ever. I've done bets with my friends, but this was actually the first time. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just do the money line. I'll take the Bucks. I'll take the Chiefs. Boys.
Here we are.
Boys. So the $100 I didn't even spend. So technically it was all profit. So I won. What did I win? $377.
It's not bad.
Fucking huge bet, dude.
It's a good take.
It was massive. And we'll talk about a little bit more in depth about the games. Later on, but I'm right. That's all I have to say. I'm right. So,
and you know what? Shout out to you. First sports bet ever. A lot of people usually walk in. They don't dive in. Like, you dove in with a $100 bet. I don't remember doing that. Like, I think I probably jumped to the five.
Literally how it happened was Elijah gave me two 50 pound dumbbells. He's like, hey, jump up with me off the deep end, see who can just tread longest. And I'm like, cool, man. I'm like, let's go. And sure enough. So I don't know what I'm going to buy. I don't know what I want to do. I'm definitely not putting the money away. I might even just bet on Super Bowl. So we'll see.
Well, yeah. But the cool thing is, I mean, you have quite a substantial amount of profit. Like, you already talked about making like a nice little purchase for yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, just imagine, maybe you even wrap it in some gift wrap and put like a to and from label. Be like, to Josh from Josh's genius brain.
From the gambling master. From the sports gambling master.
The future gambling addict Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So I think,
you know, what were you gonna say?
I think it's the only time I'm gonna do sports gambling. I think I'm gonna go out on top. One win is nice.
That's one thing. I don't know. The quote that I was trying to say about you was that earlier in the day when you first game had just started, you had said, like, you know what? Hey, if I win a large amount, I'll just cash it out. And I think I'm done after that. I was like, bro, that's never how it happens. Like, that's what everyone says. Or I think you also said, like, if I lose it, you know what? I'll probably just never do it again. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, it might take a day. It might take a week. It might take a few months. But you'll
might take a year.
It might, yeah. But you'll never be just done.
Yeah.
The only way you're done is if you're dead. That's what I know. They have me by the heel.
Yeah, except I have some self-control, but Elijah.
So fucking hit a big one. Let's go. I'm so happy, guys. So amongst all the chaos of football and just dumb betting and wasting money here and there.
Dude, you were pissing away money today.
So yeah, not tons. Like, I'm not a huge bettor. I don't bet thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars at a time. I mean, over time, probably, but not at one time. So I looked at my phone and made a few hockey bets here and there, and I started making some parlays. So in the end of it, I made what's called the California parlay. And I took Anaheim against Colorado, -1.5, with the Sharks, -1.5 against the Wild, and the Kings, -1.5 against the Blues. So all underdogs, all by 1.5. For those of you that don't gamble, it basically means that all of those teams that I picked have to win, and they have to win by 2. And all of those teams are underdogs in that game. They were not supposed to win that game at all. So it was a dumb bet, to say the least. I put $20 on it. And the fucking payout was $1,378, $1,378. So by far the biggest bet I've ever hit in my life. And all of my friends that know me, they know me as the guy that makes stupid bets and loses them all the time. And so this was, I mean, there was a time where we were at the bar today and everyone, I had the option to cash out for like $300 and everyone's like, dude, just do it. Don't be an idiot. And I was like, you know what? I have like stupid grin on my face. I got to ride it. Like, I just got to ride it out. Like the Undertaker coming on his motorcycle, dude, I just got to ride this. And there was a point today where once I left the bar and got home, almost all of those bets were in the verge of busting. Like they were not even, everything was in jeopardy. I was about to win $0. And then an example for the hockey fans here. So we're coming down to the nitty gritty. We're less than 5 minutes left in each game. What is it? Anaheim is up 2-0. They give up a goal. So now they're up 2-1. Fuck my ass. That sucks. And then I pull in the driveway. San Jose's tied 3-3. So they gave up their 3-1 lead. That game's in jeopardy. LA Kings were up 5-1. And then I pull in and it's 5-3. So like everything's blowing up in my face. But slowly I go home. I come in the house. And before you know it, I walk in. Anaheim gets a power play goal. They're winning their game again. San Jose, I walk in and I start streaming the game. And I open up the window to Brent Burns celebrating a goal. They're up 4-3. Let's go. We're back. And then so from there, I thought, okay, you know what? The Kings, they already won. So one game's in the bag. The Ducks, they're winning. So that's money. I think I've already won some money. And then I just start watching the Sharks game. And so all they have to do is hit the empty net. And I'm watching the game. And here we go. It's a minute left. They pull the goalie. And it's down in their zone. And I kind of admitted to myself, like, you know what? They're not going to hit the empty net. That's fine. It came close. Whatever. It was entertaining. And then they break out of the zone. And the guy shoots the puck from center ice and hits the fucking empty net. And I got to bring Megan on one day to tell this. Like, I was screaming. I jumped up and down like a guy that just won the lottery, even though it was like a little over $1,000. And at that point, the scariest part is they start reviewing the goal. I don't even notice until 2 minutes later. Like, there's an empty net goal. And they start, I see them at the booth and they take the fucking headset and they put them on. And I'm like, what are you reviewing? Like, why are you doing this? And they go on the mic to like the goal is being reviewed for offside. And I'm thinking, you're fucking kidding me. Like, there's no way you're about to take this away from me.
They almost got you on a technicality.
They almost educated me on an empty net goal, dude. But thanks to the new rule, the guy's skate was not over the line. So they called it a goal and I started freaking out all over again.
So
it was wild.
Elijah, question for you.
Yes. I gotta catch my breath.
How close was that offside call?
It was. I never got, so the camera angle that they showed, it didn't really have a good angle of like the line. Apparently right. They had one in building where it was called the blue line cam. So it was like straight across. Yeah. I don't know if they ever showed that angle. It was definitely close. Like the new rule this year is kind of because of what happened in Colorado in the playoffs where the guy was making a line change and he was actually offside. So they had to call it back. So what actually happened is the guy's skate was not touching the ice. Like it was in the air. But it was still over the blue line, so they called it a good goal. And like, oh, dude, can you imagine if it was a disallowed empty net goal that was the difference of like $1,300? Like, I would have the only thing that would have been a positive is I probably would have went viral for like 15 minutes. And that's it.
Fuck, man. Bye. Honestly, like, what a day. And I remember just at the end of the Packer-Bucks game, because that was the first one that we watched at the bar today. You were so deflated. And I'm like, man, and we get to the next pub and you're just like, boys, like I need to bet. And like, you're slinging money around, not a lot, but just enough. And out of all the, because you made a couple other hockey parlays that didn't hit that obviously sounded a lot more favorable than this one. But it was crazy. It was crazy to see because you left the bar and you couldn't even focus on what you were saying. You were just locked into your phone. You wanted to cash out so bad. And when did it actually allow you to cash out?
I didn't it allowed me when my bets were blowing up. Like when they were starting to fail, when the teams were coming back, it was like, yeah, you can cash out for $100. And I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, no way.
Yeah.
Not doing that. And thank God. I would have been messy if I did that. But anyways, guys, we're a hockey podcast. We're talking huge hockey bets here, but we got big happenings. I mean, there's big stuff going on in Canucks land over in La La Land over here. We've got some fucking lunatics that are Canucks fans, but then you've got us, the realists. I feel like probably the calming influence that this city needs.
The visionaries.
Yes. exactly.
The Canucks fan base.
We're kind of like the Dalai Lamas, the Buddhas of the place. Like, we're like, fucking chill out, everyone. Just trust, dude. So, but here we are. I mean, the series against Montreal is over, and it was a complete nightmare. I mean, yeah. Outscored, what, I think 17-11. I've got some stats written down. Outscored 17-11. Outshot 111-60. So almost 2-1 on the shots.
God.
The defense was atrocious. I think we have three injured defensemen now. Even though Jalen Chatfield played, probably one of the best defensemen that's played, even though he played like three quarters of a game, or he played a game and a half or a game and three quarters, he was one of the best, and he's injured now. So just a complete mess. But amongst all this, we're still positive, Josh. It's just three games. It's just seven games. If you want to look at the beginning of the season, we're 2-5 right now. Things happen, dude, right?
Give me one sec here. You guys see that?
That is a penis. That's right.
That is how the Canucks fucking played. They played like a big hairy dick. They're so bad. And Elijah, I know we agreed to go in positive into this.
Yeah.
But like the only positive thing is Bo Horvat. Oh, captain, my captain.
Thank you.
But nothing seems to be going right now for Vancouver. And you know what? It pissed me off even more because in game, I think it was game two of the Montreal series, it was the fucking Tyler Toffoli show.
Oh, God. Yeah, like, I buried the lead on that one. I should have brought that one in.
Like, talk about a fucking salt in the wound. We let this guy walk. Could we have afforded him? What was his contract? 4 years, 16 mil?
Something like that, like 4 years, 4.2, four, something like that.
Yeah. Proceeds to score a hat trick. Comes back game three, has another, like, what, 3 points?
Yep. Hat trick and then two goals the next game as well.
Yeah, so 5 goals, 2 games. Thanks for coming, Tyler Toffoli. But you're right, like the defense. And it's so easy to, I guess, like, to blame the goalie, but when you have such bad defense, the way that Vancouver was playing, like, is there any share of the blame that we can put on Holtby or Demko, or were they just hung out to dry like a clothing line?
I would say there's definitely a share of the blame, Josh, but only because the last year that we had, and even Calgary teams can kind of attest to this too, is that it's not always that there are bad goals being let in, but it's also the fact that you're not getting a big save. Like, you need a big save once in a while. That's kind of what you pay any goaltender for. It doesn't mean that even the worst team that has a goal, the team with the worst goaltender in the league, I don't know who it is, they still need a big save once in a while. Like, you can have the worst stats as a goalie, but in order for us to not lose these games so atrociously like we did, yeah, you just need a breakaway save. You need a 2-on-1 save. You need a big power play save. Anything like that would work, right? So,
yeah, and I think he hit the nail on the head there. I mean, with goaltending, like, you always have like guys that we see as players that are, we view them as very clutch, like whenever we need a big goal. But I feel like that's where the goalie contributes. Is you're right, it's like a big save in a crucial moment. You know, like, yeah, even if it's a 2-on-1 or a, I don't know, just like an absolute wrister from the slot and Demko or Holtby just snags it out of the air, and it should be a goal, but you got absolutely robbed. Like, that is what you need, because that can be just as much of a momentum swing. Even though there's a whistle and the play's dead and everything, doesn't matter. I think there is obviously some share of the blame, but just the defense, like, they just need to play better.
Yeah, so let's jump into that. So some of the goals that were scored were actually humorous. Like, I think this was the Hamonic goal on the Tyler Toffoli goal when Hamonic goes for the hit. That might have been game one, which you might have already covered. I don't think so, but yeah. So Hamonic goes for a hit, and Tyler Toffoli's left wide open on a 5-on-5 play. Like, that's rough. Yeah. And then
that was a tough look.
Some of the other guys, like Quinn Hughes, has struggled defensively. He's got some points, but the guy has been he's been getting burned along the sides. Puck battles, he's not doing great in. Tons of things like this, and I mean, this is not a fucking analytics podcast, but I mean, you're going to get the tried and true here. He's not playing like Quinn Hughes. So,
no.
That's the statement. That's the fact. We do not have Quinn Hughes on our team right now. We have random Hughes. We have unpredictable Hughes. And so anything about the rest of the defense? I mean, there's things out there for sure.
I mean, okay, who is Quinn Hughes' defensive partner?
Last year was Chris Tanev. This year, I think it's supposed to be Tyler Myers is what they were going with initially.
Like, Myers is not good. He is not
good. Okay, that hurts my feelings.
I'm sorry. Like,
I'm a big fan.
I'm sorry, but he's getting paid $6.5 million a year to play the way that he's playing. That's not acceptable. Like, it's not.
Yeah. The three penalties is quite an ugly look.
And it doesn't help that Joel Edmondson just rocked his ass at center ice in a fight.
That's why the toughest look of all is when you're 6'7" and you cannot win a fight or at least draw a fight.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. He did get his shit pumped there.
Yeah. He got his lunch fed. Now, it wasn't like an absolute like knuckle chucker fight, but Joel Edmondson laid a couple good ones on him, and Myers didn't really do shit.
Who would have thought? Is Joel Edmondson this tough guy? Like, I think Joel Edmondson.
Well, he won the cup with St. Louis, and he was one of the tougher guys.
I think he might have been the guy to get into a fight in practice. I think that was the guy.
Oh, very well could have been. I'm not sure with that one. Definitely not sure. But, yeah, I mean, does Quinn Hughes maybe need a better stay-at-home defenseman? Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's what Tanev provided. Yeah. It was like a guy that allowed Hughes to be himself when it came to moving the puck up ice, operating in the offensive zone. Like, Tanev was always like that first one back. Yes, 100%. Hughes kind of put Tanev in awkward situations, two-on-ones and all that. But that's kind of the price you pay with a guy like Hughes. Like, he is a very offensive guy. But when you have
a riverboat gambler is what they say.
Exactly. But when you don't have a defensive specialist like Tanev in your defensive zone, Hughes is actually going to have to play a little bit more defense than last year, which I don't think he is really capable of doing, at least against like a bigger Montreal team as well.
Yeah. Well, Montreal's not a bigger team though.
I mean, so, they got,
it's a good point. They
got bigger.
Yeah. There is a couple big players on there. You're not wrong there. Back to Myers. He kind of, you know what? I think the reason I love him so much is because he kind of reminds me of me, both as a person, probably the way I look as well. Tall, maybe a little lanky, completely shredded, sick hair, all that stuff. But also the negative sides, like, he does remind me of what I'd be like in hockey. Like, I don't have the prettiest stride. I will cough up the puck constantly. And also in a fight, I've never been in a fight in life in hockey or anything. I feel like I would get my fucking lunch fed to me, dude. Like, I think I'm a one punch pony. If you hit me right on the chin, dude, Conor McGregor, eyes closed on the mat.
Good night, Jim Kite.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of defense, like, that's really all I really have to say. I mean, goaltending, is there kind of a clear favorite right now? Like, I don't know. I mean,
I see
Holtby a little bit more competitive? Yeah, maybe. Probably. I mean, Demko hasn't really shown us a whole lot early on. Again, it is so early, but, like, not early. I mean, we both agreed, and I'm pretty sure even Raff would agree, when you're in a 56-game season, that 10-game mark, it's coming up quick. Because how many have we played so far? We played eight?
Seven.
So the Ottawa series, that's three games. And depending on how that shit goes, I mean, what did we say for our worst case scenario? If we said that we're 4-5, that would be like the lowest we would go.
Yeah, I think we did 10 games, right? That was
10 games.
So 4-6 would be in it, or was okay. 3-7 was kind of like, ah, okay.
Fuck. 3-7 is bad.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a game below 500, I think you're fine. So having said that, like, we need to win 2 of 3 against Ottawa. Like, we need to.
Well, okay. Like, so Ottawa's coming up. Why don't we talk? Can we talk about this real quick? Can we just talk about, we've done this once before, I think. Can we talk about the role of this city, the role that you play as a fan, and kind of let's attack this principle that everyone's allowed to be a fan in their own way. Fuck that. No, dude. Don't be a fucking idiot fan. Can we agree on that?
Yep.
Like, don't be fucking Franny the freak out after 7 games and think that we need to fire the GM, we need to trade our best players, and we need to start sitting all these guys, and Travis Green's got to go. Like, I don't care if you think that's the way to be a fan. You're wrong. Like,
yeah.
Don't you think it'd be a sick fan base if everyone was out there saying, like, hey, remember, guys, you thought you were going to finish top three and now you guys are fucking worse in the league? And it'd be hilarious if the fan base just came back and said, yes, so what, dude? We're still going to be better than you. Like, just unanimously. Let's all be dicks unanimously. Let's not just all like try and find the fucking silk. Like the
it doesn't like, work out like that. Everybody's just gonna constantly think that they're right. Everybody's gonna think that their way is the best way to approach the situation. It's just like how you think that the stuff people need to approach the situation. People are gonna be saying the exact opposite. People are gonna say they need to fire the GM. They need to hire new players and then but that's how people are. They act off impulse.
They're impulsive. We can agree on that. They're impulsive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not logical.
I mean,
losers.
I think for
they're going to do it regardless if you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's just who you choose to listen to at the end of the day that's going to impact you more than anything.
Josh? Well,
there's a couple things. The first thing that I would say is everyone always thinks they have like the perfect solution, and you don't. Like, you really don't.
Yeah.
However, watching the Canucks last year and how they got off to, like, I would say just sort of a regular start. Like, I think they weren't anything special through like 10 games. They were probably like 6-4. Like, they weren't anything. Like, they didn't come out of the gates hot. They didn't go out cold, but they were just average. But I think everyone, because the playoffs ended so recently, everyone's got this mindset like, hey, like, we were one game away from the Western Conference Finals. Like, the expectations grew. But I don't know what people were really expecting. I mean, the Canucks lost some crucial pieces, and I genuinely believe that they're starting to feel the effects. Like, we talk about big saves. Like, look at Markstrom. Like, he's doing well. And, you know, Calgary, like, they're better than Vancouver. They're not off to the greatest start, but they're at least still stringing some wins together. And I think that would maybe be the first side of it. Now, the second side of this, and I was kind of talking to Elijah about this, and I'll ask you again for the listeners, is it not in our best interest to maybe have Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson have a shitty year so we can pay them less and not deal with bullshit salary cap stuff? Like, I hate to say it, but like, is it bad to just be like, let's suck? So instead of paying Pettersson 10.5, we could maybe get him down to 9 or 8.5, you know?
Yeah, it's a very interesting thought. It strikes me as something that would be a silver lining, where it's like, it's something that the positive people like us use as like, all right, that's a positive that came out of this. I can't see their price taking a huge cut from it happening, like, unless they have an absolute nightmare season, which would, I don't think that'd be good for the player as the confidence. Yeah. But if it's just, if we're just purely talking about like saving 500K or maybe 750 a year, maybe a million, I don't know. I don't think it would even get to that.
Yeah.
I think definitely it's in their best interest, or our best interest as a team, for them to go through struggles, for sure. It would be fucking sick if we had a united city. We'd be the first sports team to ever be on the same fucking page. That'd be nice. But I mean, I just don't, I don't really understand if people understand this part. It's one team gets to win the cup every year. So, okay, you've grasped that aspect. Now there's 16 teams that make the playoffs. Can you grasp that aspect? Now there are good teams that miss the playoffs constantly. Like, look at Chicago.
Yeah, they, Nashville.
Isn't it Chicago every year they won the cup, the next year they lost in the first round? Like, usually. I get they're making the playoffs, but that is like substantially shorter than their expectations.
Yeah,
so like, absolutely. For once, can a fan base just understand that if you don't meet your expectations for the season, it doesn't mean large scale changes have to happen. Like, if you have a core group of players, they're usually on your team for 7 to 10 years. So
yeah.
Can we fucking have a 7 to 10 year period where we just support a team? I don't know.
My problem with this whole season so far, and it's more so like the frustration, and it's again something that is beyond my control, Raf's control, your control, is that this is where I'm seeing that Brock Besser is starting to get back to his regular self. Bo Horvat has really settled into the captaincy, and yet now Pettersson and Hughes suck. And I'm like, can all you guys just fucking play good for like just all at once for 1 year?
Yeah,
because last year Besser had a shit year. I would say even Vertanen was pretty good contributing piece.
Yeah, I would say so. 20 goals by the end of the year. That's pretty fucking good.
Not bad. And Hughes had a was that a Calder? No, not was he the Calder favorite? Or no, who
called her? It was Kale McCarr, but he was neck and neck. It should have been Hughes, just saying.
Right, yeah. Casual. Yeah. So you've got Hughes, who may be going through a sophomore slump. We've seen it before. That's totally fine. But Pettersson, like, it's just I feel like sometimes, and I felt the same way cheering for Calgary, I always felt like there could never be a year when everything just went right.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, it's always fine. It's like your golf game. It's like a golf game. Your iron's good. Your chipping's good. Your putting's good. Yep. Sound. Your drives are going 30 yards out of bounds every single time. And you're taking drops. Yeah. Like there's just always something going on. And now I would say the biggest thing is we're lacking on defense. And I think we're really starting to feel the effects of that because we actually can't score. Like, remember how many 5-goal, 4-goal games we had last year? Dude, we're lucky if we're getting 3 goals right now, which is not good. And all the goaltending in the Canadian division, dude, Freddie Anderson, Matt Murray, Carey Price, Connor Hellebuyck,
Jacob Markstrom. Goes downhill from there.
And then I would say Edmonton's goaltending is shitty, so I'm not even going to throw them in there. Regardless, you've got 5 decent goaltenders that have proven themselves year after year.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I'll say.
The last thing I'll say about it, even the Bruins missed the playoffs in 2015-16. So, like, both – they missed the playoffs back-to-back years. Good teams miss the playoffs all the time in a good fucking – in, like, I don't want to call it a dynasty because it's not whatever the word is for a dynasty without cups. Like, if it's just an era, teams miss the playoffs.
I would just say you're just a bubble team for the rest of eternity then.
Well, let's relax on that one. But, like, you can be a dominating team. I'd rather be the fucking Bruins than the Capitals, who never miss the playoffs, win one cup. And I'd rather be the Bruins who win – did they win 2? Oh, they didn't win 2 either. But fuck it, whatever. That's all right.
Chicago,
they made it LA. To 2. Yeah. Chicago, LA. I'd rather be those guys. So
yeah,
let's end that on a somewhat positive note.
Love it. Okay. What else we got?
I was going to wrap it up by just saying up next is Ottawa, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7. Ooh, is that right? Are we playing? Yeah, we'll play Ottawa tomorrow. 7 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. again. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Big hopes. I mean, just fucking watch, Josh, Raph. Just fucking watch us win all 3 games, and every single person is going to be on this fucking bandwagon again. It's going to be crowded as fuck. I guarantee it.
Can't wait.
And there's still room. We have first class seats with the rest of Canucks Twitter.
Select few though. Select few. In interviews, like definitely a fucking sifting process through all you fakers. That's for sure.
100%.
Next up though, I did leave some time to kind of go around the league and just discuss anything happening around the league, any teams. I know Dallas, we got some Dallas fans out there for sure. We're probably swacking some from the Hockey Podcast Network channel, but all you Dallas fans, listen up. What a start for the boys.
Oh my God, calm down. They played 2 games.
2 games, 2-0. Yeah, outscoring opponents 9-2, Josh. It's pretty damn good.
You know what's going to be Dallas's deciding factor?
What's that?
It's the fact that they're in the same fucking division as Tampa Bay, who fucking beat them in the cup final last year. So let's just all pump the brakes there.
So let me tell you this. Let me say they go up and play Tampa. They win 5-0. What are you thinking now?
Nah, I'm not worried.
Yeah,
just like how I wasn't worried when the Bills were up 9-0 today.
You weren't worried at all. Yeah,
not even a little bit. When you're going up against the best of the best, no worries.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can put.
I was going to say one thing from The Last Dance. Remember how Michael Jordan was always interviewed with the Utah Jazz, and after they got smoked, he's like, "Still got to come through Chicago."
Yeah,
like 1 game. You still got to come through Chicago. That's it, man. You still got to play Tampa. You can be whatever you want, but you still got to play Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to go through the boys, man. That's what they're saying in his head.
Yeah.
Colorado, dude. They lost. They made my bet possible tonight. They're 3-3. They were expected to be a cup winner this year, which I've said this before. If they finish third or fourth in their division, high hopes for them. If not, first round exit. But high hopes if they're 3-3. I'm not worried. But what people should do is compare your team to that. If Colorado's 3-3, the Canucks are 2-5. It's not very far off. It's 1 game, really.
True.
Right?
Very, very true. Again, it's still early.
We'll fuck out.
Yeah.
Philly.
Where's Philly at right now?
In the standings?
Yes.
So they got their division going on. They are – they're kind of in the middle right now. So they're 3-2-1, six games played. Washington, even though Washington had four players out of the lineup for long term somehow, I'm pretty sure they're still winning games.
That was like, hilarious.
So they're Washington's 3-0-3 on the year. It's kind of a crowded top of the division there.
But wait, they're 3-0-3. So they've holy shit. So they're losing close games.
Yeah, over and over again.
That's nuts. Love that.
Yeah, you got some feelings about them?
I mean, do we know who the four players were for Washington? Ovechkin was one of them.
Yeah, it was Ovechkin. Oh yeah, I didn't even know why I said I have no fucking clue. It was their goalie Samsonov. I want to say it was Kuznetsov.
So basically just the Russians.
Yeah, it was just a huge Russian party, dude. I mean, Raffle maybe can comment on that one, but
what does COVID?
how many over under on Nezdrovias that were said in the locker room? Or
I bet all the fucking KHL doctors right now have a cure for COVID. So they probably just took over some fucking needles from Moscow and just brought it over and like, we don't have COVID, coach. We are fine.
Hey, you guys be careful about what you say. You know the Russians hear everything.
Dude, they're listening to everything.
Dude, come and find me in the dugout, man. I'll put some coffee on.
Yeah.
It was also Kuznetsov and it was Orlov as well. Ovechkin, Orlov, Kuznetsov, and Samsonov.
Jesus.
Basically just the KGB train.
Yeah.
How do you think
they were discovered? Do you think they called the room service for the fourth time and they're like, hello, Belvedere, Belvedere? And then it's like got reported to me. They fucking boss boy didn't want to deal with their shit anymore.
Oh my god, dude. that's too funny.
I will say though, the rule that they have on hockey players is fucked. Like the road rule where if you're on the road, you cannot each player has a single occupancy room and you're not allowed to be with your teammates. Like that's you can't a little be with weird. I don't know if the fine tuning of the rule, if you have to, like if you can with a mask on, I imagine not, because they're just being super anal about it. I get the business side, but dude, like they're gonna spend half this season's gonna be 5 months, 6 months long. They're gonna spend half of their time on the road, and you're telling me that they like I guess I need to know the fine points of the rule, but on surface level, that rule's fucked. Yeah. I'd be out there breaking the rules with a Bailey's and coffee in my hand immediately.
Can I ask you something?
What's up?
What do you think happens to Brad Marchand if he licks a dude's face this year? Oh. do you give him a sussy? Like, do you have to suspend him?
I think it would be in the moment. I think it'd be Monsters Inc. Like blue, whatever the fucking number is where they call and the guy gets tackled.
What is it? It's like a 24-19.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, guy gets tackled, shaven, and just like done, hosed off, sanitized. That's what should happen to him, and that's what he reminds me of, a big furry ogre.
Give him like this short. Supreme wash from the Shell car wash.
Yeah. You know, that's fucking Brad Marchand is Randall from Monsters, Inc. That's who he is. He's fucking Randall, dude. Look at him and look at Randall. He's the same guy. Just slimy, dude. Greasy motherfucker.
Oh, my God. All right. I don't have anything else from around the NHL.
You got nothing, hey? You a hockey guy?
I got a fat bowl of nothing.
Hey, I got a fat stat for you. Bo Horvat in 2015-16 was -30 on the year. Hello to Josh in Beer League. There you go. How's that for a stat? You like that?
Dude, if I'm not a -40, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take the under on the -40.
Shut up, Josh. We're going to throw it to our internal ad read to our friends at the Hockey Podcast Network.
Calling all Jets fans and foodies. What's going on, guys? I'm Brandon Rewicki, the host of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. Look, if you love Jets hockey, this is the place for you. In-depth breakdowns from every game, a deep dive into the big plays and moments from Winnipeg's season, and all the Jets talk you will not find anywhere else. We got it for you on Skates and Plates. Plus, if you love carbs and everything tasty, we jump into the world of food as well. Once a week, we also speak with a member of the local culinary scene to highlight their great stories and the great food they put out. So there it is. Hockey, Jets, food, drink, everything good in life. It's right here on Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right. Thanks for the boys from over at whichever ad read that is. I have no clue who it was this time, actually. Thank you to the Hockey Podcast Network, presented by DraftKings. Thank you to the fellow podcasters out there on the network. They're actually all gentlemen and fine ladies, like every single one of them. I love them to death. I would sit in a sauna with these people or a steam room if they wanted to post COVID. So shout out to you guys. Megan and I are trying something. So in our lives, we live together. Shout out, humble brag. Me and my girlfriend live together. That's right. Bet you're jealous of that world.
And your rent is just paid for the next couple months. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I should bet. Oh, dude, you know what's better than 1 month of rent? Those 2 months. I should get another month of rent going.
Dude, I want to start calling that bet the West Coast Express.
I want you to come up with a California name. Use California in there somewhere.
California Dreamin'.
That'd be nice. Yeah, California Dreamin' is a good one. Is there a name on a song like Hotel California? And I should go buy a hotel with it, like hotel room?
I'm pretty sure you could relate Hotel California because it's about like a drug addiction to your gambling addiction, if you want.
That's pretty sick. I know for a fact if I tried crack, I'd be full blown. I'd be head over heels with that shit.
Good to know. Anyway, Megan, what's going on with Megan?
So we got, so normally in our lives, we have split duties. Like we've kind of just naturally filled responsibilities within life. Like she's more of the clean the bathroom, vacuum sweep kind of person, as well as cook.
What the fuck is
left for you to do?
Well, don't shit on my duties here, dude. And I'll clarify because in my duties, I'm the garbage guy, the recycling guy, compost guy. So like anything that's outside the house, gotta get taken out once a week, done. That's me. I'm also the dishes guy. Dishes a big thing. And that's all I really got to my name. However, those are the more frequent things. Like I would say dishes is every night, cooking is every night, but dishes is harder. And dishes is harder. That's a tough one to sell. But recycling and fucking garbage is like, I'm doing that every 4 days, every week, maybe.
Yeah, but that's also one trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like you throwing a bag over your shoulder and walking like 50 paces.
Either way. So what we're doing, no, it's a lot though. We have a blue bin that fills up every week of recycling. Every time I go for recycling, dude, I've got the compost bin, the recycling, and a garbage bag all in my hands, and I'm fumbling everywhere. So it's a task.
Okay.
Now, we've decided, because I think we're both a little bit at odds thinking that we're both doing the harder job. So we flipped starting Monday. She's going to be the garbage, compost, recycling person, which I'm dying to see. Like, I think it's going to be hilarious. And I'm the cook and I'm cleaning the bathroom. And she doesn't think I know how to clean a toilet or a bathtub, but either way. So we're about to see who's got the harder duties. Now, I think you guys, I can just tell from the energy both you guys are giving off, you don't trust me on this one. You don't side with me.
Well, I think what's going to happen here is she's going to get upset with you because the bathroom's not going to get to a state that you deem as being dirty, and then you're not going to end up cleaning it until it's too far gone, and then Megan's just going to go and impulsively clean it because she's going to see you as being incompetent when it comes to cleaning the bathroom.
That very well could happen, but we said every 2.5 weeks, 2.5 weeks it should be clean. That's fair.
Okay.
Like, right. I also feel that, like, Megan, or technically your jobs now, everyone would kind of have a different level of expectation, like what Raph is saying. True. You know, like, you think you clean the toilet, and you think it looks good, but maybe Megan sees it, and she's like, no, that's not clean. Whereas, like, her tasks now are, you know, taking out the garbage, and the compost, and recycling. It's like, it's either done, or it's not. And same with the dishes. Like it's very like it's black and white, whereas yours there's like a certain standard. So I'm curious to see, not necessarily whether or not if you're gonna do them, but to what level of Megan's expectation. Because I trust that you're gonna do them to the best of your abilities, 100%.
But it's just not gonna be her standard.
Yeah.
I'm also interested to see how much your cleanliness standards have changed since you lived with your parents however many years ago.
Yeah, that I will admit that was right fucked what I used to live like. And it was perfectly aligned with my timeline of life though, like where I wasn't like being that old and like not having to wipe the toilet seat ever, just letting like hair and shit just grow everywhere on it. It was nasty, but whatever.
Elijah had this phrase where when he peed in the toilet, he'd say, "If it's yellow, let it mellow."
Yeah. But you know what? I like to save water. I still kind of like that. Sometimes I feel like I shouldn't flush the toilet out of respect for H2O.
If it's clear enough that you can't tell that it's pee, you just don't flush and you walk away and hope that Megan doesn't notice.
Absolutely. If you're peeing water, you're not flushing it.
What?
That's a fact. That's everywhere. That's in your house, not your house, Josh. If I'm peeing in your bathroom, dude, and it's coming out white, if I've been drinking that day, I'm not flushing.
I did. Watch out, Josh.
Sorry. Like, I hate to say it, but that's... I'm not about to waste 4.0 gallons of water or 4.8 liters of water per flush.
If you ever tell me that you need to take a pee in my bathroom,
yeah,
I am making sure I hear that toilet flush.
I might invite you if you try and flush it.
I'll flush it.
Or you guys can flush it if you come in and pee into it. Use it, yeah.
That's Josh, fair. I'll just start every time when Elijah goes pee at your house, I'll just walk in and preemptively flush the toilet before I do my business. Because we don't know what's in there.
Y'all start flushing water.
Flush the toilet, dude.
No chance. That hurts.
There you go. It'll balance out the universe of you not flushing Raph's pre-flushes.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I did want to take some time to chat COVID. You guys want to do that again for 5 minutes?
Sure.
I want to get your thoughts because I've been having different conversations with different friends and different coworkers, and I wanted to see where you guys were at.
All
so
right.
Recently we had Bonnie Henry unveil the vaccine plan and the schedule, what it's supposed to be, given supply and whatnot. And it sounds like based on this schedule that like 90 to 95% of the population will be vaccinated by the end of August or September, something like that.
September.
So how do you guys, now that's Bonnie giving you a plan and not really saying where we're going to be at restriction wise or lifestyle or business, whatever you want to say, kind of wise. Where do you guys interpret this next 9 months going? Like, let's hear when you think life will be back to normal. And I don't mean 100% normal, but kind of like summer was, but maybe even a little bit more than summer. Like, let's say masks are out there, but almost every business is open. There's not really too many restrictions, that kind of thing. And that might just take your answer wherever it needs to go, to be honest.
I'm going to say it's not going to be done until the youngest age group has their vaccine, because I'm still under the impression that adults are the safe ones.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are the stupid ones. Oh, that's where I'm kind of at with it. You know, like our age, they're still going out. They're still going to house parties. They're still, you know, like we're a very like young people are just like a lot more social, right? Like people that are older, like they have jobs, they have careers, they've got a schedule. Like they're a lot more organized and everything like that. Whereas like us, it's more so like we want to see our friends and all this stuff. And I think that is a contributing factor. So I think once everyone is vaccinated, then we'll start to see stuff open up, which really sucks because that basically means that are we all going to get 2 fucking COVID birthdays?
Yeah, probably.
Raph won't.
Yeah, I might not. It'll be close.
Yeah, I think Raph won't. Raph is in December. You had your first COVID birthday last month. I think your second one around, I think we'll be pretty set and clear. Now, Josh, I kind of want to follow up on you for a sec. Now, I want to clarify your point because I think I know what you're saying. I think people might interpret it the wrong way. You're not saying that kids are like the most vulnerable. What you're saying is kids are the bigger spreaders of it all.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
because they can't follow the rules. And obviously, like, again, this is just my opinion, but why the fuck are high schools open? Why are they open? That is like the biggest cesspool ever. I saw a meme on Instagram and it kind of made me laugh, but it also kind of made me think. And it's like, can you imagine your kid going to school and then coming home with a different mask saying that, oh yeah, me and John traded? Like, you don't think that shit happens? Like, what do you mean? Like, don't you guys remember like the head lice breakout and all that shit? And people, like, they would wear a toque and they would like stuff it on your head and be like, oh, I have lice. And they'd run away. Like, dude, like, I feel like that is like the same thing with COVID. Like, it's like they cough in their mask and then they like rip it onto your face and like they suffocate you with it.
Yeah, it truly is kind of amazing. Raph, why don't you jump in for a little bit here?
I think I kind of agree with what Josh was saying, but I don't think the adult age group is going to be the most safe one. I think they're probably going to be the most problematic, especially like the young adult age group, like the one that we're in right now. Because you have a combination of, like younger people who obviously want to go out, they want to party, they want to go do a ton of stuff. And then the older group, let's say like more towards your like late 20s or like your early 30s or even like your mid 20s, who are just very like self-aware of what their beliefs are. You know what I mean? which then makes them a little bit more stubborn as to if they're eventually going to get fully vaccinated. So I think this is probably like, sure, end of August is a pretty good time for a lot of stuff to start reopening, but I don't think people are going to be like fully vaccinated or fully committed to the idea of getting vaccinated until even next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of restaurants or places where people can travel to kind of let loose and unwind are going to require you to almost carry some sort of permit, for lack of a better term, where it shows that I've been vaccinated. This is a government document. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where I see it going.
So yeah, it's funny. That's actually very interesting that you guys both kind of came at it from an angle of who are the most, who are the biggest contributors to spreading it, rather than who are the most vulnerable from being killed by it or being affected by it. I think that's where a lot of people gravitate to. But that's a really good point. And it's crazy because when you think about it, it's indisputable that is the group that is the super spread or the bigger spreaders, and we're the last ones to get vaccinated. It's totally right the way it's being done, in my opinion. I don't think we should be the first ones vaccinated. I don't think anyone needs to jump the line. But it is interesting that the people that could be a different strategy, where you vaccinate the people that spread it the most at the same time that you vaccinate the old people that are dying the most from it.
Yeah.
That's curious. What do you guys think about? So in the months between now and August, the hope is that throughout the vaccination program and just throughout everything, the weather getting better, restrictions working, what kind of timeline do you envision for me getting back to a normal life? Being able to see friends, family, being able to travel within Canada, restriction free, that kind of thing. Indoor activities like our sports we talk about, what kind of timeline are you guys thinking?
I'm saying
with or without masks.
I would say back to summer. What summer was? I think summer was you're supposed to have masks. I don't even remember what it was, to be honest.
But masks weren't necessary to if you're walking around or going to a store or something like that. They weren't necessary. It was just distancing that was necessary, I believe. Masks were just a recommendation. Yeah.
Let's go back to that. I think maybe don't include the mask, because I feel like that's something where they're kind of at the point now where they might just include it to the very end, just because it's an easy thing to do.
I was going to say, I think masks are here to stay until COVID is actually officially gone.
Yeah. I can see that. But the other part of the question, where do you guys think?
Late summer, early fall.
Yeah.
Do you think any progression in between that, though?
Probably not. Oh, there's probably going to be slight openings with sports and whatnot, but because we all know how much Bonnie Henry loves physical activity, but I don't know.
Personally, what I think is, I don't think this upcoming restriction renewal thing, I don't think that's going to be the one where she lets you hang out with, you open up your bubble again to the whatever it was in summertime, six people, four people, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think the one after that, I think she's going to extend it by 2 to 4 weeks. And after that, I think that's when we start coming back a bit. And we start saying, okay, you can open up your bubble a bit more. You know, you can have a core four, whatever you want to call it. And then I think in the month coming,
podcasting again in person.
Hell yeah. And I think indoor sports are going to be back come March. I think that is, and I think that's even conservative to say. I think that the way the case numbers are going, they're going down as well. I think it's interesting because when this vaccine plan came out, it was very easy to say, August, September, this thing's we should be good by then. But that was tough for me to take, because I was I can't wait till then. And I do optimistically think come March that I'll be hanging out with friends playing hockey again, that kind of thing. I'm hopeful. Yeah, Last question on it though. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say my timeline, I'm saying late summer, early fall.
Late summer, early fall. Last question on it. Give me a date prediction. Literally give me a single date on when the Roxy opens up again. What day is the Roxy open?
I'm going to say what March. Actually, no, that might be too far into January. I'm going to say February 3rd or 4th of next year.
Yeah, sorry.
Josh is close to what I was going to say. I was going to say February 14th, 2022.
Valentine's
Day. Oh, yeah, dude. Some mistakes are being made on that one. Go. How many babies are born in October? Babies are we going to have?
Tons. That's
too many.
Yeah.
Okay, we can move on with some COVID talk. I feel like we hadn't done that in a while. I feel like we talked tons of COVID back in April, May, June. So why not dip our toes in again?
Yeah.
Josh, let's talk some football real quick because conference championships wrapped up today. We already talked about our bets hitting. Some takeaways from the game. What are your takeaways? Let's go in brief into this.
Okay. I'm just going to briefly talk about the Packers and Tampa Bay game.
Yes, sir.
Tom Brady, if you're going to throw fucking three straight picks, do not even bother showing up to Super Bowl. Don't show up. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur. Josh, what?
That's the first time I've heard you say anything like that about playoff Brady.
Yeah. Well, no, it's playoff Tom. Playoff Tom.
Sorry.
But he was lucky. He got all of his shit done the first half to the point where he didn't have to march in the 2-minute warning. So that was good. Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, you're a pussy. Not that I'm mad that you didn't go for it on fourth down. Obviously, I had money on the Bucs. But just from a football fan standpoint, you're an idiot. But I would never have admitted that during the game. Jamal Adams, where are you at? Where you at?
Wait, who? Devontae Adams?
Or Jamal? Wait, no, what the fuck? Who? Aaron Jones. Jesus.
Aaron Jones. God. There you go. Yeah.
I don't know why I always get this guy's name mixed up. So what's his name?
Aaron Jones.
Where are
Jamal
you at?
Adams.
Yeah. This is Josh attacking the Seahawks player that hasn't played in 2 weeks. Where the fuck are you, Jamal Adams? Why weren't you playing?
Yeah, but buddy's in Cuba with fucking Jalen Ramsey after they talk shit to one another. And then what else will I say? Chris Godwin, you're a beauty. And Gronkowski, you always show up when you're supposed to.
Yeah.
In terms of the Chiefs and Bills game, Tyreek Hill, you're a freak. Tyreek the freak. There you go. Take that. Travis Kelce, you are a walking wide receiver, even though you have a TE as your position. And Bills Mafia, I'm sorry. It sucks.
It was a good flame out of an ending for them.
Yeah.
It was very symbolic of what Bills Mafia was because their season crashed through a table right there. All in three quarters.
Yeah.
It was over. The Bucks game, I mean, really, what it comes down to as a coach, why on earth would you take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers and your best player to then put it into the other team's best player's hand to hope that he messes up or to hope that they can't get a first down? That puzzled me. I'm sure you'll hear it on every radio station, every podcast, anywhere you hear someone talk about sports, they will say, what were you doing, Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
The only thing he's got going for him is he's good looking. Good looking people always bounce back from adversity. It's just the thing. I'm pretty sure Brad Pitt has had controversy after controversy. Boom. He's still one of the world's most loved men. Same thing with Tom Cruise. He's a Scientologist. What the fuck? Somehow we still love him.
But he still yells at people in the middle of Mission Impossible filming.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a freak, but at the same time, if you saw him in person, little 5'7" Tom Cruise, would you not fanboy out? I would.
Tiny Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tiny Tom.
From Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, The moral of the story is good looking people always bounce back.
Fact.
Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to good looking people. I think that's something I would get tattooed on myself.
Okay.
Preferably when I'm not so fat, so it doesn't shrink down when I get fit again.
But, it'll just shrink into cursive.
Yeah. What kind of writing is that? It's called losing weight. That's what it is.
Into like Morse code, like Braille. Yeah.
Should I get a Braille tattoo, a little scar tissue?
Sure, go for it.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Stick and poke, do you think that'll do it?
Oh.
Maybe. Really? Couldn't tell you. Super Bowl picks real quick. Raph, let's start with you.
Who wins?
Yes, sir. That's usually the pick.
I might side with Josh on this one. I think Brady takes it home again.
What?
Yeah.
Sour grapes, yuck.
Oh, yeah. Baby. Oh,
I think Brady brings it home.
Good. Hey, good for you. If they come back and lose, you can just say, dude, I thought Super Bowl picks is when you choose the loser.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I don't know. I have this weird feeling that he wins.
What if I told you?
I don't want him to win, and I have this weird feeling that he wins.
What if I told you that Kansas City had a European on their team?
Doesn't change anything for me.
Nothing?
I don't understand why you keep trying to pull that card thinking that I'm going to have some sort of bias.
Maybe, like, yes. Everyone's a bit homer. Everyone's a little bit of a homer.
I feel like
I was born here.
Yeah,
like,
but
Elijah thinks that like Raph is like a Polish spy when really he's just like a regular Canadian citizen just paying his taxes and working.
Yeah, I'm out here doing my thing for the past 25 years. What the fuck?
Hey, dude, I'm just jealous that you have a diverse background. I mean, if I was fucking like, if I was something from Central America, I'd be constantly cheering for Central America. I don't know. Just
Elijah, like, don't make me pull some sort of cancel culture bullshit here and call you a racist and then get you off the podcast.
Hey, dude, what?
Come on,
back to the
rap,
Josh.
I mean,
let's go.
Like, God bless Poland and Warsawia, but I mean, that's the least controversial thing going on with Poland these days. That's the last thing I'll say about that. But
I mean, there you go. That's still racism again, dude.
That's that's just facts, dude. Yeah, ask CBC, ask BBC. There's shit.
Nobody asked you to bring up those facts. You brought those facts up on your own regard.
I didn't bring them up. They brought them up. Mm-hmm. BBC did. I'm just quoting BBC.
Yeah.
But like a thought quote.
Elijah, what's up? Let's get back on track. Who are your Super Bowl pick?
There's literally zero doubt in my mind. I'll take all that winnings I just made and put it on KC right now. There's zero doubt in my mind they lose this game. I think what you've seen in Tom Brady, where he wins six Super Bowls in his career, been to 10, and you think that that's the bar. I think when Mahomes start winning three or four in a row, if he stays healthy, that's the bar now. So. Chiefs. I'll take it by 10, 20, whatever you want. It's sealed.
Oh, baby.
Josh, the tiebreaker.
Oh, Jesus.
I think Josh wants to follow his gut and say Kansas City, but he knows he's got a raging heart on for Brady. Playoff Tom.
Like my thing.
Hey, you're young enough to be his son if you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, he could just walk up once he wins that game and kiss you on the lips right there. You never know.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of sick, dude, because I'd sue his ass for breaking COVID safety laws and I'd get paid.
Yeah, but then you'll also go down in history as being that guy.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll put a stain on his legacy.
There you go.
Yeah, boys. Like, I'll throw money on Kansas City. 100% I will. But if I lose, I'll be... Like, that would be money well spent. Like, I hope that me
what an interesting on Kansas philosophy.
City makes them lose.
Yeah, you're hedging your emotional bet is what you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And like, it was the same thing today. Like, I know that I bet Kansas City. Did I want Buffalo to win? 100% I wanted Buffalo to win. Like, it would have been sick for their fans. But now the stage is set. You've got the GOAT, the best to ever do it, against the new age and the new era of quarterback, which is Patrick Mahomes. Like, this truly could be, like, I'm not even joking here, guys. Like, this could actually be the passing of the torch. Like,
it's a big moment in history.
Like, Mahomes has been in the league for 4 years. He's started three of those 4 years, and he has won two Super Bowls in 3 years as a starter, or he has the potential to do that because he's one for two. So I like this guy, man. Like, if he wins two in his first 4 years in the league, that's more than Rodgers. That's more than Breeze. That's tied with Russell.
Like, that's big time, dude. That's multiple.
Like, that's fucking massive.
If he goes out and if he wins the Super Bowl next season, blows out his leg, never plays again. Still goes down as one of the greatest ever. Like, he does.
I would say so.
Yeah.
So that I guess, like, money wise, sure, I'll take Kansas City, but I playoff Tom, baby. Playoff Tom. And I don't think I've seen Tom Brady be this much of an underdog in a long time in the Super Bowl. Like, they are always the favorite. Yeah. Are they not? Am I wrong about that? Maybe when they played the Giants, when the Giants' defense was unreal.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Or was it the other way around?
That was the year that the Patriots were undefeated all year, and they were going into the Super Bowl.
No. But they played twice, Elijah. You have to remember that. There was one year when...
Giants twice?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Eli Manning's Super Bowl rings only came from beating Tom Brady. Like, that's his kryptonite.
I'm completely blanking on the second one.
Yeah, I do too. Like, there was one, I don't know, the undefeated season. And I don't know if that was the game with the David Tyree catch, like the helmet catch. I'm not sure. But they played each other twice in the Super Bowl. And Manning has gotten the best of them. Anyway, I don't know. I really don't know if, like, I can't remember the last time Brady was this much an underdog. Like, Kansas City is a fucking wagon, and Tampa Bay is good. They're a good team.
Yeah.
But dude, like KC, man, like I don't know.
You're lost. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
So out of all that, the general take is I don't know.
I don't have a pick. I mean, if
what do you mean you don't have a pick?
You gotta have a pick.
Take a pick, dude.
I'll take KC, but if I lose, I'm happy. I'll be jumping for joy.
That's so funny. That's like, I feel like that's how we've evolved as a species. We realize that you don't have to put your entire ego, pride, and everything on the line with a sports game. You're like, hey, either way, I win. That's like how you defeat the world.
Yeah.
You've now won.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So we got KC, and Raffle, the loan shark, going out on T-Bay with Tom Brady.
He's not alone. Just like statistically, I'm with you, Elijah, but in my heart, I'm with Raffle.
He's alone, dude. 33%.
I just can't have my heart broken if I just go all in on the Bucs. I can't.
When I put it like that, I would much rather be 33% and be alone than be 66% and be on the same side as Josh. So I'm I'm jealous of Raph.
Josh, there's lots of room on this side if you want to walk on over. Don't worry.
Fine, fuck. Let's go Tampa Bay. God
damn. There we go. You can't say that you choose one team, but if they lose, you're still going to be happy because then ultimately you're not committed to that one team.
Yeah,
it's like what they tell you with a coin toss. Like that's why they tell you to call it in the air because that's when you're really going to realize what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so our last segment of the day, we've got another edition of Spoiled. Why don't we let Raph? This was your pick, so why don't we let you take it in here?
Okay.
Give us a little breakdown of what the movie was about, and you can even follow it up with your initial thoughts.
Cool.
Did you just cough up a furball?
Yeah, you okay?
That was a huge hiccup, like mid-sentence. Dude, you ever have a hiccup and you feel like I almost like, not only almost vomited, but something, one of my innards almost came out. That's what I felt like.
No, never, but all right. Anyways, so this week we watched Molly's Game. Which was, it's essentially about a girl named Molly Bloom who had a pretty promising career as becoming like a professional Olympian in, was it ski slalom or something like that? I think
moguls.
It was.
Moguls.
Moguls, yeah.
Moguls.
Women's moguls. And then she had this terrible accident and then basically just got a DNF and then just never competed again. And then she moved to, I believe it was LA or something, LA. Right?
Yeah,
where she then just started like working odd jobs, and then she found herself working for a guy named Dean, who then started running an underground like gambling ring. He employed her, and then she kind of took the whole concept and ran with it and made it her own thing. And then fast forward, I think it was like 18 years or something like that, and the FBI breaks into her house, arrests her, basically says that they're gonna take her to jail for everything that she ran, and then she goes and gets a lawyer and tries to get it all sorted out so she can get her money back and obviously not get incarcerated. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I was kind of skeptical about it, but like the way that they explained everything, it was like really easy to digest and really easy to follow. Like I usually don't like backstories for characters because I find them kind of boring, but hers was kind of like sarcastic, which made it a lot easier to watch. And then just like the whole concept and just like watching how everything unraveled and then like all the people that were allegedly there, like obviously they didn't use their real names, but apparently some people have come to light with it. Like you saw some pretty good cameos. Like you saw Michael Cera being like this really big, like Hollywood actor who would start showing up to these smaller games, then eventually come to bigger games and whatnot. I heard a rumor that the person who Michael Cera was supposed to be portraying was actually supposed to be Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
I Googled this movie after and other people that were actually involved. So Tobey Maguire was, yes, you're right, portrayed by Michael Cera. But like Matt Damon, Ben
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Yeah. Like, dude, like there were some heavy hitters that like obviously named in the movie. But it was crazy.
Yeah, it was not.
So all those people were supposed to be player X or were they all various?
No. Like,
no, they were all all appeared.
Yeah, that were like released later on.
Yeah. But like even like the casting for the movie was awesome. Like the girl who played Molly was great. Like Michael Cera's obviously dope. Love Michael Cera. You had a cameo from Joe Keery, who is in Stranger Things, who I fucking love. There was a guy. Do you guys remember the Russian mobster, Shelley?
Yeah, the guy with the painting.
The painting. Yeah. He straight up looked like fat Cole Sprouse, and I thought that was hilarious. just like I saw him walk in, I was like, "Is that Cole Sprouse?" I had to Google it. But yeah, like dope movie, start to finish. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, I've also never watched a movie with so much cleavage in my entire life.
I was talking to
one of my coworkers because she was the one who recommended that I watch the movie. So I was like, okay. And I told her, I was like, dude, there's like so much cleavage throughout the entire movie. And she's like, what? She's like, really? And she's like, I didn't notice at all. And it just goes to show like how the male mind thinks in that kind of situation. You know what I mean? When it's like presented right there, it's like, this is a fucking, you'll notice it immediately.
Dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing, like, I freaking love this movie. Like, I think so far out of this entire segment, that is actually my number one.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Like, No Country for Old Men was fine. I like, honestly, like, Unbroken, like, they're my picks. Like, I like them. But, yeah. Bro, like, this movie, I'm a huge True Story guy, as you guys can tell from the picks that I've chosen. Mm-hmm. This was crazy. This was a crazy movie. Like, this is a comparison I found of, like, the movie 21. About like the guys that go to Vegas and like count cards, that kind of has that feel to it. The actress, I don't know her name, but she's been in so much stuff. But where I really know her from,
are you talking about the one from this one?
Yeah, the girl
that is Molly. Jessica Chastain.
Yes, Jessica Chastain. She was obviously the star in Zero Dark Thirty, and that's where I kind of really started to like her. Would you guys not agree though that this actress, Jessica Chastain, is kind of like a, wouldn't necessarily
Angelina Jolie.
No, a more, okay. I don't want to say evil, but like a more like edgy version of like Amy Adams, maybe just because they're redheads and like, I think they're both equally pretty hot, but like in terms of like their facial features, like I feel like she's just a little bit more like badass. Like Amy Adams is like the cute little girl next door, but this actress is like a mirror image of her, but kind of like the more like evil, like, and a bad version.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would say, Amy Adams got like the, she's got like the mousy kind of look, like the soft.
Cute.
Like,
she's cute.
Yeah. She's got the cuter look, whereas Jessica Chastain's got the bit of a sharper, more hot, sexy look kind of
guy. All right. Let's dial it back here and get back to the movie, guys.
Hot, sexy kind of look on Jessica Chastain. I just Googled it. Something.
One thing that I also really liked about the movie was the transition in the relationship that she had with her lawyer. Yes, whose name I don't remember.
Idris Elba.
Well, I wasn't going to go by his real name, but yeah, by his name in the movie. Charlie, I think it was.
Yeah,
Charlie Jackson. Something like that. And I like how initially he wasn't going to represent her in court because he's like, you basically don't have anything going on right now. And then when she tells him that she has like hard drives or that she plugs her phone into the computer and she has all this like technical data that she doesn't really have, but that's kind of there in cyberspace, he decides to represent her at the end of it. You know what I mean? Like makes like a split second decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool development for the both of them.
But the one thing I really liked was I think when they were talking about like the hard drive conversation, like he hands over his phone. He's like, here, like you can blow up my phone. If I forget what the reason why. Why did he give her his phone?
Because she wouldn't trust him with her phone and her information and her hard drive because she thought that the moment that she gave it to him, he was going to spill it because she had an incident however many years ago where something like that happened.
Yeah. I also found it very kind of like ironic that like everyone, even when poker wasn't being played, everyone seemed to have like a very good like poker face on the entire time. Like her dad, the lawyer, her, like it was just very like straight face and very serious. Yeah.
There were a lot of gambling nuances going on the whole time throughout the entire course of the movie.
100%. Like the entire scenario was just ironic because it was just a giant gamble. Like you didn't really know what was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you also find it crazy that like she was also her own downfall in that sense?
Yeah.
Because she just kept like she was a workhorse, obviously, and she wanted to try and like her dad was a psychiatrist pointed out that she's just kind of there to try and stick it to the man, right? Mm-hmm. Stick it to like the people who make a ton of money and just kind of make them feel shitty, all that kind of jazz. And then eventually like she's overworking herself and then she's fucking herself over as opposed to doing what she wanted to do to everybody else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just make them lose their money. But
yeah,
100%. It's nuts.
Elijah, what do you think of it?
Jessica Chastain is probably my number one or two actress at the moment. She's one of my favorites. Love her to death. Love the hot, sexy look. In the same category, same hot, sexy, not cute, but hot, sexy, sharp, just everything. Idris Elba, thank you very much. Sexy man of the year 1 year. Good God, thank you very much.
I think there were rumors. I think it's done now, but there were rumors that he was going to be like the next James Bond. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, he'd be a great Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a studly pick, I think.
Yeah.
Great characters though. I think Jessica Chastain, the way she plays characters, it's I think this one was a bit more straightforward than other movies I've seen. But I'm a big true story guy, just like you are, Josh. And mm-hmm. I'm also a big poker guy. So this one was right in my alley. I remember watching it about a year and a half ago. And it's funny because the things, like some of the turning points in the movie, some of the big highlights of the movie that were surrounded around poker were hilarious. Like,
yeah,
for me at least, because I feel like I've gone through that. Like what was the fat guy's name? It's not Hudson. Oh. It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Harlan.
Yeah. Harlan. What happened to him? Like literally just such a safe player. Great. Makes a lot of money doing what he does. Just being safe, being smart, using the numbers. And then just one instance, losing to Bad Brad. Like, yeah. I will admit, I haven't played many games where it's a game and I think I'm like, there's a visibly terrible player at the table. Like, I haven't played many of those games, so I can't really say I've had a Bad Brad moment, but I've definitely had a moment where you lose a hand that you shouldn't have lost. Like, you make a mistake and boom, you are on tilt. Like, it happens at the casinos, whether or not you're, and if you ever play poker, it happens so much more because poker has so much skill involved in it. It's not just luck. So that's where, like when he went on tilt and he just started losing half a mil, 1.2 mil by the end of the night, I was like, okay. Like, I guess I'm glad I don't have that kind of money because that definitely would have happened to me.
Yeah, but, he was after blood. He didn't go to his wife's birthday and she divorced him 4 days later or whatever it was.
2 days later, yeah. It was 2 days
later, yeah.
Crazy, but I think very basic move by, what was his name, Dean Keefe, the guy in the beginning?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be a slime ball, you kind of got to realize who you're being a slime ball to. Like, you should realize your assistant's pretty fucking smart.
Yeah.
And clearly smarter than you. So if you're just going to try and play the basic route and say, I'm going to cut down your hours, like, obviously you're going to take the game from you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a basic move by that guy. But the other side, the last comment I'll have about it before I give my rating is, I love Michael Cera, dude. In a movie, like, does he just, whatever kind of character he plays, like, it just brings me joy to watch him play anything in movies. He's the same thing as Jesse Eisenberg. Those two, man.
Yeah, not so much Jesse Eisenberg, 100% Michael Cera.
Fair. Yeah, definitely one and two, but for me, they're a close one and two.
Fair.
It feels like the little man's winning, you know? Like, it feels like a victory for the little man.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, and then we can give our ratings unless Raph has one more final thought, but the one part I really liked in the movie was kind of like the closure, like the 3-minute therapy session with her and her dad, so Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And like the final thing is like the final thing is like that basically like broke her, like made her the way that she is. And he's like, it was a piece of a pine tree that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Like that's like all happened. That happened. And I'm just like, fuck. I'm like, that's like a big, like, it's always like one of those things, like in the movies, like you would think about it like late at night where it's like, well, if you didn't do that, like, you know, like you can kind of like dumb it down to that way. And the fact that he said that in the movie, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that not right. In the way. She doesn't wipe out. She sticks the landing. She qualifies for the Olympics. Completely different life. Guaranteed. Like just different.
Yeah. But it's cool how in the therapy session he also goes over the fact that it's like he prods her a little bit, trying to see why she's against like powerful men and whatnot, like that, like why she doesn't like powerful men. And she brings up the fact that he's been cheating on like his mom, and he's like, no, like you found out about that in your 20s, you know what I mean? Yeah, but that's what she said. She's like, oh, I heard you cheating on her in my 20s or whatever. And he's like, no. He's like, you saw me cheating on her with another woman when you were 5 and you just don't remember. And it's like, there was this kind of trauma that her brain decided to just like lock out of her memory, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what caused her to be that kind of person.
Can I have one final thought about it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Fuck the director for putting that game 7 clip of the Canucks losing and Kessler crying.
Oh yeah, I briefly saw that too at the beginning.
You're going to start the movie like that? Are you serious? I sit down to enjoy a nice 2-hour, just turn my brain off and not get mad at something and that happens?
I knew when I watched it, I'm like, ooh, I'm like, yikes. I'm like, is that why Raffle picked her? I'm like, is that why Raffle picked it for him? It's because there's a picture of fucking Kessler crying like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Big time triggering. Right. Let's go around with ratings.
Ratings.
I'll leave the charge on this one, 8.2. I really liked it.
Right.
I really liked it. It's Breaking the Eights.
Maybe we have to go back and like actually add our ratings into the movies.
It's too much time.
Shane?
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Eight, nine.
Now that's a big one. I certified though because you liked it that much.
I love that.
8-0 is what I'm giving it. 8-0, I think.
Oh, that's pretty sure. A rookie score. It's got to be 8-0.
Yeah, that's a rookie score.
Not a rookie score, dude. Are you kidding me? I didn't know giving it an 8 would have been a rookie score because that would have dismissed the fact that decimals are involved. I gave it an 8-0. That's a good veteran score.
All right. I'll accept that.
I'll defend myself on that one.
That's a scapegoat score.
No. Please give me your thoughts, everyone. Comment, subscribe, rate, and review, and give your thoughts in every single one of those processes. That'd be nice. Is it processes or is it processes? I've heard people say that before.
I think. I don't know. You're asking the wrong fucking guy.
Yeah, processes is what you have in your computer.
It's what you use. It's what your brain uses to try and process what you're going to say, Josh.
Yeah, which I don't really have a lot of those. So
yeah, processing power is still stuck on Windows 97, right?
It's pretty limited.
Sorry, process $380. How about that?
Oh, baby. Try $1,400 on for size.
Forgot about it. Another boner. Let's go. Okay, so it's my pickup for the world. We'll wrap it up. I'll choose a movie. We'll get going. We are going to start choosing some bad movies. We're throwing them in there. Throwing a little branch through the spokes. Snakes on a Plane is the choice. Snakes on a Plane, starring Samuel L. Jackson and a bunch of bullshit. So
wait, Samuel L. Jackson's in Snakes on a Plane? Yeah.
Dude, you know the line from the movie, right? I'm tired of these. I'm not going to say the rest. Don't say the rest. You know what, Josh? I'm tired of these.
Have you never heard anything about Snakes on a Plane?
Bro, this is actually going to be a big moment.
Josh. Snakes on a Plane was like a meme when we were in fourth grade or something stupid.
Boys, you have to remember, like I told you before we recorded, because Elijah, you had announced your pick and I thought you were joking. Dude, I'm terrified of snakes. Like I'm going to be covering my eyes this entire fucking movie.
Oh, dude, just think about it. When you're watching it, under your couch could be coming something. So,
dude, shut up.
You never know. You'd be surprised how they get in there. Once you get them in, you can't get them out.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, fuck off.
Watch it attentively because there's a famous line that Sam says. He's got a lot of them out there. One of the most famous will come up in there.
I'm just going to read this.
How fucked up would it be if one of the snakes just came through that little ventilation hole above Josh's right shoulder?
Oh, dude, I could see that happening.
I don't like this.
Do you feel something on your leg?
Dude, fuck off.
What if I brought a snake to our next podcast live? Like,
you're not coming over. Like,
a podcast.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No chance.
Episode 14 is in the books. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate all the listeners and we would love your help. So please rate and review. Please share with your friends. I feel like we're some funny fuckers. So maybe tell one or two people about it. That would be awesome.
That's good alliteration.
Thank you. Once again, DraftKings promo code THPN at sign up. Literally. What did I say?
TPHN.
I said TPHN?
Yeah.
That's a tough look. Come on.
THPN.
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 Seven.
Think of who's got the lisp in cartoons? Is it Daffy Duck or Elmer Fudd? Do either of them have a lisp?
Both.
Either way, just think of sipping, but have a lisp. Sipping.
Sipping.
No, it's
sipping on gin and juice.
It's Mike Tyson would say sipping.
Yeah, Mike Tyson.
Sipping.
So at DraftKings at sign up, use promo code THPN and
THPN.
Literally, you don't even have to deposit. You can to do this. If you don't even want to gamble and you want to help us out, just go sign up, use promo code THPN, and you're helping us out. That's just a G move. That's big time G move by you. So thank you.
THPN THPN.
THPN. Thank you once again. We'll be back on Thursday. Happy hockey to you. There will be 3 games played in that time. So let's fucking go.
Go Canucks.
3-game win streak. That's a good thing to celebrate. Hello. That's it. That's all, everyone.
Oh, harder, baby.